Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more. My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Today, we're going to break down a hypothetical case that feels ripped straight from the headlines. We're talking about a high-profile political assassination and the lightning-fast manhunt that followed. We're going to look at how a shocking crime like this could get solved in just a matter of hours. It all kicked off with this really dramatic announcement. I mean, just over a day after the shooting, Utah's Governor Spencer Cox steps up to the podium and says the three words everybody was waiting to hear. It was a clear signal. The intense nationwide search was over. So, who did they get? Well, authorities identified him as 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, a young man from Washington County, Utah. This was the guy they believed had been on the run since the moment the shots were fired. What's just incredible here is the speed. I mean, think about it. The clock started ticking the second the crime happened. And in just 33 hours, law enforcement went from having a crime scene with almost no initial leads to having their main suspect in handcuffs. And that really is the million-dollar question, isn't it? They had over 7,000 tips flooding in from all over the country. So what was the one piece of information that finally broke the case wide open? Well, as it turns out, the answer was a lot closer to home than anyone could have guessed. Yeah, the key to this whole thing wasn't some high-tech surveillance or a crazy police chase. Nope. The breakthrough came from inside the suspect's own house, from a father who was facing an absolutely impossible decision. Okay, so here's how it all went down in four crucial steps. First, recognition. Robinson's own father sees the photos the police put out and realizes that's his son. Then comes the confrontation. He goes to his son, tells him he has to surrender, but his son refuses. So that leads to a really tough call. He doesn't dial 911. Instead, he calls a youth pastor he trusts, who just so happens to also be a U.S. Marshals Task Force officer. That was it. That was the final link. The officer passed the info to the FBI, and just like that, the manhunt came to a very quiet end. And at that big press conference, Governor Cox made it a point to publicly talk about the family's role in all of this. He went out of his way to thank them for their courage, saying they did the right thing, a choice that, you know, brought a peaceful resolution to what could have been a very volatile situation. But getting the suspect in custody was really just the beginning of unraveling this whole mystery. Back at the crime scene, investigators found some really bizarre, deeply puzzling clues that have been left behind, specifically on some unfired ammunition. So the shooter didn't just leave shell casings, they left messages. Investigators found three unfired .36 cartridges, and get this, each one had been carefully and very strangely engraved. The first message seemed pretty straightforward, politically speaking, a direct taunt. It read, "Hey, fascist, catch," with a bunch of arrows drawn on it. This pointed to a pretty clear political motive, right? And the second casing just seemed to reinforce that idea. It had lyrics from Bella Ciao, which is this famous Italian song that's historically linked with the anti-fascist resistance back in World War II. So, okay, that's two for two on a political theme. And then you have the third one, which just completely shatters the pattern. In this really jarring, stark contrast to the others, it said, "If you read this, you are gay, LMA." I mean, you can imagine, this just threw investigators for a total loop. So this is the central puzzle for the investigation. Are those first two messages the real motive, and the third is just some kind of twisted, dark humor? Or is the whole thing, all three casings, just a deliberate attempt to confuse everyone and misdirect the investigation? Right now, nobody really knows what to make of it. And this confusion, it doesn't just stop with the evidence. It extends directly to the suspect himself. As details about Tyler Robinson started to come out, they painted this deeply contradictory, just baffling picture of the 22-year-old. I mean, look at this. The picture that emerged of Robinson was just a study in contradictions. On one hand, you have this quiet, brilliant student. Friends called him friendly but reserved, and the kids scored a near-perfect 34 on his ACT. But on the other side, you have the portrait of the suspected assassin, someone who had apparently become more political, had talked about his dislike for Charlie Kirk, and was an experienced hunter. It's like he was two completely different people. And the basic background details don't really clear anything up. He was studying to be an electrician. He wasn't even a student at the university where the attack happened. And he was registered to vote with no party affiliation, even though both of his parents are registered Republicans. You know, every new fact just adds another confusing layer to the puzzle. A quote from one of his classmates really underscores this whole mystery. This person knew him for years and was just adamant. They'd never heard him talk about guns, never heard him talk politics, and never saw any sign of outward hate or malice. It's just such a stark contrast to the crime he's accused of committing. Even his home life seemed totally normal on the surface. A neighbor described his family as loving and down to earth, though they did say the family was quiet and pretty much kept to themselves. It just paints this picture of suburban normalcy, not what you'd imagine as the breeding ground for a political assassin. So all of this leaves us with this huge lingering question. Which one is the real Tyler Robinson? Was he the quiet genius that his friends knew? Or was he this radicalized assassin who planned this horrific attack in secret? For now, the person at the very heart of this shocking crime remains a profound and frankly disturbing puzzle.